Let me just pray. Lord God, we just give you thanks for your word that is challenging and confronting. And Lord, help us to today hear this word fresh and anew for our lives. I just ask this in your holy name. Amen. Yes, we are actually in our third week of looking at Romans and exploring Romans and just going through Romans a little bit in depth. And today we are looking at that first section of chapter 2, verses 1 through to 16. And I just kind of want to set the little scene for you. In chapter 1, the Apostle Paul was kind of talking about those people who were very sinful in their lives and in the nature of who they are. And then he moves on and he comes and he actually moves into this chapter and he's talking to those people. And if we look at what he's doing, he's talking to those people who are morally righteous. So they're the morally righteous people. Now, in exploring this, one of the things that I came across was that around that time in Rome, there was actually a Roman politician who was Seneca, who was a moral teacher. So he taught morals, the way to live life properly. And he was also a tutor to Nero, the emperor. And he would agree wholeheartedly with what Paul was actually saying here in this passage, but about those who were non-believers, those who were pagans. But and he would often think that he is different to those immoral people. But the interesting thing is, he's also the one that while he was able to, not tolerate immoral behaviours in others, he was immoral in himself. The most fragrant instance of that was really convincing Nero that to murder his mother. So you can kind of go, that's not a really good moral behaviour, is it? So that's kind of the scene in Rome in around that time. And so those kind of things are happening there. And so when we read this, we need to think around who is the moral, upright person. Anybody here a moral, upright person? I can see nobody's hands are going up. Nobody's willing to admit that they live a good moral life. And I want to say we should actually live a good moral life. We should have good morals and live a life that's really good for us. But, and when we read this and we notice that in the passage, in the chapters that we got there, Paul starts talking about the Jews in this chapter, the Jewish believers. And so we often kind of equate the same way that Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, the moral teachers of the time, and how they failed to actually meet their own moral teaching that they had. We kind of equate this to what Paul is doing here. So when we hear this section, and I'll just read it to you again from verses 1 to 3 of chapter 2. You may think that you can condemn such people. And so that's what Paul's doing here. He's actually talking about what he's just written in the previous chapter. Those that are not living a moral life, you may think you may able, condemn such people, but you are just as bad. I love Paul. Doesn't mince his words. He just comes straight to the point. And you have no excuse. When you say that they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself. For you who judge others do these very same things. And we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others by doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Powerful words, powerful words. And it got me thinking. Do we ever have judgmental behaviour? Let me be honest. Yes, I have been judgmental in my behaviour. Annette's nodding just there. Sorry, are you? You're nodding for yourself as well. So, you know, we do have this kind of sense that we do have some judgmental behavior in ourselves. And sometimes you think, oh, that's okay. Righteous judgment, all those kind of things. I was reading, in preparation for this message, and I came across this illustration, and it was from a theologian, Francis Schaeffer, and a little bit dated. Anybody have those dictaphones? You know, I'm probably speaking to the right generation. You still have one? Oh, you had one. Okay. Speaking to the right generation, because if I say it to, younger people, I go, what's a dictaphone? Those things are, you'd record your messages on and you can listen back to it. But kind of think it now, you've got your phone in your pocket. And what basically it does is it records every judgmental thing you say. That's the only thing it records. It listens for your judgments. And is it, the things you say and the comments you might make about, the latest celebrity scandal that's there or how the politicians aren't doing enough and you're being judgmental about what they're doing and how, they're not balancing things or whatever it might be or how you're driving down the road and this idiot got in front of you in the car and how could possibly they actually got a license? None of us would have ever done that in our life, would we? And lo and behold, you've got all of these recordings coming in and they're recording everything that you do, that all those judgmental behaviours. And at the end of your life, you're there in front of God, the righteous God, and God says, all right, I'm going to be completely fair with you. Your phones record everything judgmental that you've ever said. And we're going to play it back and we're going to judge you upon your own way you judged others. How would you feel for yourself? It's sobering thoughts, isn't it? When you actually start thinking about what this means for us. What this means for us is how do we do it, You're kind of sitting there and you're thinking, well, it's like I'm a deer in the headlights at the moment. I'm being condemned by my own words about the way I have behaved towards others. I tell you what, you wouldn't want to carry a phone or a dictaphone around ever again, would you? John Stott said this on his message, his book about the message of Romans. We work ourselves up into a state of self-righteous indignation over the disgraceful behaviour of other people, while the very same behaviour seems not merely so serious in ourselves, but serious in theirs. That's what Paul is talking about here when he's talking about that judgmental behaviour. As he's looking at that and he's talking to those that are thinking that they're morally more superior, morally more right, and because they're following the law or they've been living in the right way kind of thing, but they've been looking down on others and been saying, bad how they're living? And so Paul's been outlining these immoral behaviours and then he goes on and goes, you moral people, you're condemning yourself as well by your own behaviour. Tough things to have. And one of the things he does, and it's a literary kind of, and thank you, Gail, for saying that Paul was this very clever person, very clever writing. He did these very clever things. If you actually go into chapter one and you look at where he's talking about all those sinful behaviours, he's actually talking about it in the third person. There's they, them. They're all out there. And you notice the thing when you talk about those people and people out there, you distance yourself, don't you? Have you ever distanced yourself, in the language that you've got and the way you behave, how you distance yourself from other people? And the language Paul is doing and using in that chapter one, it is all there, them and they. They are all that kind of those people outside. And then he flips it here and he moves it to the second person and he goes, you, yourself. He goes, He's now speaking to the individual. And it cuts deeply for us because we suddenly realize we do the same thing. We have people outside that we condemn, that we judge, that we think are bad, and yet when we come to ourselves, we go, it's okay if I slip a little bit. It's okay if I do this little bit. Well, you know, they're really bad and I'm okay. Here's the thing, and I've said it, you know, a number of times, and I said it at the beginning of this series. Life change really happens when we move from just reading the Word of God found in the Bible and letting the actual Word of God read us and speak to us. You know when you read something, a book, a novel, whatever it might be, and you read it and they're words and you go, oh, that's really good, wonderful, and nothing ever changes. Do we approach reading the Bible and what Paul is saying here in the same attitude when we read it and we go, oh, that's wonderful, and we move straight on? We're thinking about, you know, and let me just say this, are we thinking about what we're going to have after church now? Or are we thinking about what God is actually saying to us in this moment? Even though Paul is saying to those moral believers, and we kind of make that assertion that they are the Jewish believers of Christ in Rome, and thinking that because they are the first, because they are the chosen, the people that God chose through the Old Testament, because of their lineage and heritage, that they've got this special dispensation, that they think they can look down on others and be judgmental. Paul's not letting that slide at all. So if we look at what it means for, and I'm just going to take two little notions about what is a judgmental person, especially in this moral sense, and especially in the religious church kind of sense, so moral, religious church kind of sense, what it means that who is a judgmental person. And this is not, and I don't want us to be going, I'm trying to accuse you of something. It's really hard when you start thinking about being judgmental, because the moment you start talking about it, you realize you're doing it right now. So let's take a step back and let this speak to us, because I don't want to be judgmental on you. I want it to be about me. And as you hear these things, don't think about others, think about yourself. Let it be, is this speaking to me at the moment? So a judgmental person accuses others of their sins that they are personally guilty of committing. They're also hypocritical, but a judgmental person accuses others of their sins that they are personally guilty of committing. Matthew, let me share with you, Matthew 7, this is Jesus' word speaking here, Matthew 7 verses 1 to 5, and he goes, do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you'll be treated as you treat others. Can you hear the words? This is what Paul is saying as well, is what Jesus said. The standard you are using in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. I just heard that in Romans as well. Paul is using the words of Jesus as he's talking to the Pharisees about the way they judge others. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eyes when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye and then you will see well enough to deal with a speck in your friend's eyes. As we look at ourselves, we need to look at ourselves before we look at others, don't we? We need to get right with God and live a righteous life before we start pointing out to others their faults. It's important for us to realize that when Paul is writing to the church in Rome, he's not doing it in a vacuum. He's not doing it isolated. He's doing it with the Word of God there. We're taking on what Jesus had actually been teaching and takes that and gives it back to the Roman church so that it may help them in their own journey. So the first one, a judgmental person accuses others of sins that they are personally guilty of committing. Let that sink in for a moment. Is that something that we have done? And I want to say I fit in that category. Second thing, a judgmental person thinks that they are doing what God wants by judging others. Okay, this is a challenging one. Yes, we are called to actually help our brothers and sisters in Christ to live a righteous life. Notice that we are called to do that. We are called to help point out when people aren't living, you know, according to God's plan. That's part of what we are called to do. But we are called to do it with love rather than judgment. And that's a really key thing, called it to do with love but not judgment. It can be as simple as the way that we come into our prayers when we pray for others. Do we do it, you know, I pray, God, that I am not like the sinner just over there, that I have fulfilled all of the righteous things of the law and they haven't, you know. We remember that from the Gospels. But we need to be careful on the way that we phrase things. Pray for such and such because they're, you know, whatever it is, marriage is falling apart, they're, you know, whatever it might be, you know, do it with love. Do it because you have concern and care for the person, not because you feel righteous. There's a difference. We're not called to judge them. We're called to love them. We're called to help them, not condemn them. In Romans chapter 2, verses 5 to 7, but because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sins, you are stirring up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. God doesn't give immorality. God gives immortality. That's a real Freudian slip in all of this. Paul is not saying here, and let me be really clear with this. Paul is not saying we are saved by the things that we do. You know, some commentators are saying, we need to be careful about how we treat this because we need to make sure that the believers don't think that by their actions they will be saved. That's not what Paul is saying there. He's not saying that by your actions you will be saved. We know in Ephesians when Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, he's saying it's actually by grace that you are saved. It's through Christ and Christ alone that you are saved. It's not by the works you do, it's through Christ. Paul is actually saying here, it's actually by the actions that you do, the way you have treated others, that you'll be judged. How God is going to look at you. And if you give yourself over to faith, if you give yourself over to faith in Christ alone, let me give you a little bit of hope. God doesn't see those actions. God doesn't see those judgmental behaviors. God sees Christ. When you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, when you've asked Jesus into your life, and you live by that, and you let that change your behavior, the way that you live, the way you treat others, the words that you use, judgment starts to go down and love starts to increase. You know, the church should be the most non-judgmental, loving community of believers that want to see the good in everybody. Is that Pittwater Uniting Church for us? I'm not hearing a yes. You're kind of going, oh, where's he going to go? Yes, I believe that is who we are. I believe in all my heart that God has called us to be the righteous believers in this place, but not the judgmental righteous believers. We're called to be those who are chosen, who are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's just pray. I'm going to invite you just to take a moment, because as we've been looking and thinking and reflecting on what Paul has been saying to the Roman church, God's word cuts into our own lives as well. And if there's been a moment and a time in our lives in things that have been going on, when we feel we've been more judgmental in our what we've been saying and the things we've been doing, just take this moment. Take this moment just to bring that before God and actually confess that there have been the moments that you've fallen short, that you've become judgmental. Actually confess that to God. Take this moment and do that. And after you've done that, or if you don't feel you're there, just actually ask for God to take away judgment from you, to actually take that away and let you be that loving, caring, supportive believer that is full of Christ's love in their life, that sees the potential and love and care and passion that God has for each and every person. Let's just pray. I'm going to start and I'm going to leave a little bit of space. Oh Lord God, your word cuts deep. Your word cuts to our lives and the behaviours that we have. Oh Lord, we know that we have been judgmental in our behaviours, in the words that we've used towards others, to the they, the them and their, the people outside. Lord, convict us of the times when we do that. Lord, especially convict us of the time when we are judgmental towards our family, our friends, those that are close to us. Convict us of the times when we are judgmental of fellow believers when they fall short. But Lord, help us to be loving, caring believers in Christ. Lord, we know and we ask that you hear our prayers. Hear our prayers and our cry of our hearts and our minds that we may be truly more like you, more like Christ each and every day. May that love and that care and support and encouragement be evident in the relationships that we have with fellow believers here and across our suburbs, city, country and the world. Lord, help us to be people that build up believers, not tear down. Lord, help us to be people that build up the community and not tear it apart. Oh Lord, we ask this in your holy name. Amen.